Creed Williams is a well-known television actor. He has performed in both Everwood and Chesapeake Shores, which is in its fifth season. His latest project is a play that he has written called Grant, An Evening with the General, a solo play written and performed by Treat Williams that'll take place tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 as part of the Great Barrington Public Theater. It is a great pleasure to welcome Treat Williams to the roundtable this morning. Treat, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
So how did this particular production come about?
Well, it is, first of all, I want to forewarn anyone coming. It's not a production. It is a first reading of a play that's a work in progress. It's really just to see how it lands. It's the first time I'll have spoken it publicly. And so this is really in its initial baby step stages of working it into a real production or performance. And about 2.5 years ago, when I was between jobs, I just have always been fascinated by Grant, and I decided that having worked with Hal Holbrook, he came to my school, Kent School, and did his Mark Twain Tonight. I've always been fascinated by these concepts of the one-man show, and I felt that Grant was always kind of out of focus in history, and became fascinated with him, and it just sort of worked its way into my wanting to turn it into a one-man show.
Given that model, is that how you look at it as something where there are many different monologues, for want of a better term, that that Hal Holbrook would go through as Mark Twain, or do you want something more set than that?
He was very reticent to express any feeling. As a matter of fact, Mark Twain, who was his editor for his book, and talked him into doing it, his memoirs, said to him, you know, these facts are great, but I don't know what you feel about anything. You have to put yourself into this, into your memoirs, and send him back to the drawing board, so to speak. So I kind of used that as a springboard to, in my own mind, have him express feelings that he was reticent to express. And it's my own fantasy about how he might have said or how he might have felt about something that I garnered from the books about him and from his memoirs. And, you know, as I say, I'm still picking through the stuff that I think is most interesting and will hold an audience's attention. And at the end, hopefully they'll say, I feel like I spent an evening with that guy. I know who he is. You know, I know how he feels about war. I know how he feels about slavery. I know how he felt about his country. I hope. And that's what we're working toward. And we're going to find out a lot, I think, Monday and Tuesday.
Obviously, there is the material, there is what you were going to be speaking, but then there's the acting, if you will, of becoming Grant. Of what kind of challenge has that been?
Well, I want to humanize him. I want him to, you know, I have a voice because I have what he wrote and said and felt, and I take it a bit further. He'd never spoke about his marriage to Julia, which is very important to him, and I think probably kept him from dying hopelessly of alcoholism. And I think that was a big problem for him when he wasn't with her, or if he was bored, he drank. And there were people in his life that he brought into his life to keep him on the straight and narrow. And there's a lot of the fact that he was pretty much an abject failure at everything he did until the war. So there's that too. And so inhabiting him was, you know, his voice comes to me pretty easily because he writes from the heart in his book. And I feel as though I'm, you know, just like in any play, in any character I play, I feel as though I'm just the conduit for the writer. And hopefully he is basically, his family is from Connecticut originally. I'm from Connecticut originally. So there's some, you know, not too many parallels, but that's one. And, you know, I think this is, as I said, it's a process of finding out what his voice is. This is the process.
Did the fact of the times that we live in, and you can make of that whatever you wish, but of the times that we live in, have any draw, do you think, to Grant, that it was a voice that was helpful for you to explore during these times, even though, as you mentioned, something you've been working on for a long time?
I mean, Listen, the country was split apart, as you well know, and half of the country wanted not half. Well, at the time, about half the country wanted to separate and become another country. And I feel as though we're in a place right now where the country is at odds with itself, and that our democracy is fragile right now, very fragile. And I think that, as you know, well know, we all know from our history classes, that the democracy, it almost broke, thanks to Lincoln and thanks to people like Grant. It somehow survived the Civil War. But I think the parallels right now are quite extraordinary, to be honest. And that wasn't going on as much when I started considering this. The enmity that I see in the country was not quite as profound as it is right now. So I'm actually kind of fascinated by the fact that it is in that regard somewhat timely.
But he does have things to tell us about our current situation.
Yes, he does. He does. And he has things that he talks a great deal, as a matter of fact, in his book about racism. And even though he had owned slaves at one time, he found slavery abhorrent. But he has a very almost a thesis on how it could never have survived. And he felt very strongly about that it was an abhorrent thing for people to actually fight for. Even though he had great respect for Lee, he had great disdain for everything Lee fought for. So it was an interesting dichotomy and there were people, it's just so bizarre that these are guys, you know, that he went to college with, that he went to West Point with. But you know what? I got guys I went to college with that were at opposite ends of the planet, you know, on our political philosophy and leanings. So I guess, you know, it hopefully we're not going to descend into some kind of, it won't go that far, but I think we are in a very fragile time for democracy right now. So I hope that it has some meaning to people in that regard.
This is all, as you indicated, is so much of a learning process as you bring it before an audience tonight and tomorrow. How do you feel that? Is that an immediate, or do you ruminate on it for a while as to what worked, what didn't?
All day long. I'm terrified. They're going to say, oh, man, this is really boring. And Jim Frangione runs the theater, keeps saying, no, man, it's good. It's good. And I'm like, oh, yes, let's, you know, we got to get it up and find out.
Yeah,
you know, what's working and what doesn't work. And you can only do that in front of an audience. So it's really, really is in its initial stages. And I'll probably find out a great deal about, you can, you know, having been on stage for 50 years, you can tell when an audience is losing interest or when things are slowing down. And you think, okay, this part has to go. <You know? laughs> Sometimes you're surprised and you go, oh, this works better than I thought it did. But that's part of the fun of it. And I'm hoping that it holds them enough that we'll find out, you know, what needs to be worked on. But it's really, really in the initial stages. And Jim actually kind of talked me into doing it. He said, you really got to put this up in front of people. It's good enough now. And I said, all right. You know, I've been inundated in the last 4 months. I've been in Canada doing my show, Chesapeake Shores. And then I was about to start working on Grant again, and then I jumped down at Maryland to Baltimore to work with these guys who did The Wire to do a role in an HBO show they're doing called We Own This City. Mm-hmm. So I haven't really had a chance to get my face into it again until today. And I'm coming down on Sunday and Monday to work with Jim.
David Simon and George Pelicanos working on We Own This City. And
I was with them yesterday.
Yes, yep. You posted a great photo. Are you allowed to tell us what it's about roughly?
Well, there is a book. It's really about cops again in Baltimore. It's written by one guy. I haven't had a chance to read the book because I basically had 8 pages of me talking.
Yep.
And so I came home, I was on the airplane and I got the offer and I looked at it and said, I don't know if I can learn this in 5 days. I really don't know. So I was inundated. And it's really just about, they'd asked us not to talk about plot points or anything, but basically it's the same as The Wire. It is about cops and the locals and policing in Baltimore, basically just after the Freddie Gray he was arrested, yeah. and they put him in a van and gave him the ride, I guess it was called, or something like that. So it takes place just after the Freddie Gray incident. And really, to be honest with you, I immersed myself. I basically play the Prince of the City now as an older guy, retired cop teaching. It's kind of like it's kind of full circle for me, having played Danny Cello in Prince. You know, so in a way, it was kind of wonderful to I'd say, put the uniform back on again one last time.
Well, having talked to both of them in the past, both it seems like you're in good hands with David Simon and George Pelicanos.
Oh, they are monster writers, so good and so, you know, they're so passionate about their material. They care so much about the common man and about people, and they care about the cops too, you know. And they would love to see somehow a solution to these issues that they bring up in their shows. But they're lovely guys. They were just a joy to work with.
You mentioned Chesapeake Shores. I didn't realize. Are you going to your sixth season? Is that right?
This is season 5. It's a complete turnover. It's a brand new show, basically. We didn't have 4 because of COVID.
Oh, right.
So we didn't do season 5 last year, excuse me, because of COVID. So this was season 5, and we brought in a wonderful young actor named Rob Buckley. Jesse Metcalf has departed us, and Rob's come in and pretty much taken over the leading role, and he's wonderful. And the show is just, it's Steve Sutton who wrote Cheers and also Newhart, who is just extraordinarily good. So all of a sudden, I'm in, I think, one of the best, as good as Everwood. You know, was, which I, my probably my proudest of Everwood of anything I did on television. And this is just really wonderful now.
That Everwood.
We're on the cover TV Guide this week.
That's great. Well, congratulations. Yeah. That is, Everwood just seemed like a perfect fit for you.
Oh, it was. It was. I felt it was written for me. I really felt like it was, you know, having grown up falling in love with the, you know, all of the It's a Wonderful Life, all the Capra films, Jimmy Stewart. No, all my favorite actors, Tracy Stewart. You know, I think I was informed by them as to what kind of people I wanted to play, and Andy Brown was just a wonderful character.
Treat Williams will be performing tonight in Grant, an evening with the General Daniel Arts Center in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, all part of the Great Barrington Public Theater. You can find out more by going to their website and find out about tickets. You can also go to simons-rock.edu. Treat Williams, a great pleasure. Thank you very much. Have a blast tonight and tomorrow, and thank you so much for being with us.
The pleasure was mine. Thank you so much.
Thank you
Thanks
very
for
much.
Having me.
Be well.
Okay.
Again, you can find out more information by going to greatbarringtonpublictheater.org. greatbarringtonpublictheater.org. Performances tonight and tomorrow of Treat Williams as Grant, an evening with the General. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.